Thank you very much for the kind introduction. I think there's been three callers trying to get into the program, even moments before I came on the air. Let me go ahead and give out the phone number of the station. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't even know what this program is. This is called Health Essentials. I'm your host, Roy Morgan. It's Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. And I'm telling you, it is a gorgeous day outside. I think I'm going to choose to spend as much time as humanly possible outdoors today, even if I perspire just a teeny tiny bit. That's what salt and water is for. All right, the number here at the station, if you want to call and ask a question, is 903-589-8507. That is 903-589-8507. Just very briefly, just hear me out on this. Okay. There was a study at the University of Iowa, and what they did was they put rats on a sodium-deficient diet. That means they didn't give them any salt. What happened to the rats? Well, they started shying away from good activities. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, my name is Gary.
Hi, Gary. Welcome to the program, buddy.
Well, I've been doing some studying on my own about lion's mane and the benefits for memory and also good mood. Also, I also found out that omega-3 also helps the mind.
Good. Well, that's good research, man. Way to go.
So what would you recommend? You take both of them at the same time, but...
Of course. They're just food. They're not drugs. So if you told me what drugs can be prescribed by a physician to improve mood, that'd be an antidepressant. What would they give to improve memory? I don't know. Let me choose a drug called Aricept. But they're chemical drugs. That's where you have the greatest advantage of all time when you start consuming things like omega-3 fatty acids, because every brain cell that you have and the outer membrane, you got to have omega-3s to take up their space there so that the brain cell can work normally. So I think it's perfectly fine for you to take omega-3s with lion's mane. It's just food.
Sure. Can you explain to me what lion's mane is? I've just heard about 3 months ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry about that. It's a mushroom. And so, for example, if you went online and typed in, how can I grow my own lion's mane, you're probably going to come up with a company that sells the spores, or maybe I can call it the seeds for lion mane. But if you can grow it in your own kitchen if you want to. But it's just a mushroom. And so Okay. Mushrooms, a lot of times, they have some of the most interesting properties of all time. Can I give you a couple examples?
Sure. Yes, sir.
I couldn't think of it. I did now. It's called Chernobyl. Do you remember the story of that nuclear power plant in Chernobyl, Ukraine?
Mm-hmm.
Man, if I'm not mistaken, it is absolutely the largest man-made structure that's covered with concrete currently. You can see it from outer space, like if we were in an orbit around the Earth. Because what they did was they had like about as close to a near nuclear reactor meltdown as humanly possible. So I don't know all the terminology. Now, by the way, I have a good friend. He's a nuclear electrician. I want you to know that. So if I ever need his help, I'm going to call Wyatt and say, Wyatt, could you help me with this nuclear issue? But they had to contain it because the reactor core, started overheating and it began to crack and leak. You kind of know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Well, anyway, here's the story I'm going to get to. You know, all that stuff's deadly. And I don't know how many people have died, but they had to completely wall it off and just trying to contain the release of radiation into the atmosphere where it could destroy human lives. The very first thing that they found growing in the large room with a nuclear reactor was a mushroom. And I thought to myself, okay, what lesson can you take away from this, Roy? That mushrooms, they have one of the most unique abilities to help absorb poison from radiation so it can be removed from the body. So I know that may be kind of a weird take on it, because you want to know about what do I do to improve my brain function? How can my mind be sharper? How can I be a happy, active human being? But mushrooms, they contain compounds that can help improve the body's production of what's called BDNF. That stands for brain-derived neurotrophic factor. You and I might call it Miracle-Gro for the brain. So if you were to like go to your computer and type in, what is lion's mane? It's going to say it's a nootropic, which means it helps stimulate the growth of brand new brain cells, or the healing or the repair. And I'm telling you, that's a good thing. Now, if I wanted to destroy some of your brain cells, how could I do that? Well, all I have to do is just give you alcohol. So if a person's consuming alcohol, they're killing their brain cells. But if a person's consuming lion's mane, they're actually promoting the healing and the growth and the repair of brain cells, which you do over the entirety of your lifetime.
Well, I've noticed a little bit of help, like memory stuff. Like, I'll put something down, and I say, where did I put that at? And then I'll go, oh, yeah, I put it. I left it in my car. And I've watched this little introduction on lion's mane. I just never heard of it before, but it seems to be working.
Hey, do you know what that's called in neuroscience terms? That's called spatial memory or spatial memory. And so one example would be if I pulled, when I park at the large grocery store supermarket here in Jacksonville, I like to park as far away from the front door as possible just because I like walking. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And so what would happen? I mean, have you ever sat in your car and watched a person come out of the grocery store, and they have a buggy full of groceries, and they go down one aisle. I mean, they go down one row of parking spaces and then another, and you can tell they do not remember where their car is parked. That's spatial memory right there. And see, lion's mane has been shown to improve that. Another substance that I just read about that improves that, and what they did was they looked at the, you know what a concussion is, don't you?
Yeah, right.
Or, a hit to the head. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not good. You talk about a traumatic brain injury and doing damage. That could do it. But they've shown that rutin is another substance that improves the spatial memory, which means you go into your house, you set your keys down or your phone down, and then for the next 30 minutes, you're going, where did I set them down? Where did I leave them? I don't remember that. But lion's mane and rutin are things that help improve the quality of your memory.
Okay, good deal.
Can I talk about fish oil? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I keep hearing about this jellyfish stuff that some of these people, I'm not going to name the brand name, but they say it has jellyfish and extract in it or something. Mm-hmm. Is that good or...
That is the one question that I'm just not qualified to answer, and it's because I just haven't studied it. So, no, I know what you mean. There's an extract they take from jellyfish. You know what? We just found a good use for jellyfish. I would rather take it in a capsule than have them wrap around my legs at Galveston. Have you ever been stung before?
No, but I know I got the crocodile hunter bless his heart.
Oh, yeah, that's like no laughing matter. That's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm going to let you talk to other people, but I haven't taken the lion's mane and omega-3, and I have been better off with the space what you're talking about.
Oh, that is so good. Now you can remember where you set your Bible. That way, if you say, I'm going to go find my Bible, mm-hmm. you'll know right where you left it.
You know how I find my phone? I'll say, hey, Google, ring my phone. But I need to put one of those on our Bibles. We say, hey, Google, where I leave my Bible.
Oh, my goodness. You just came up with the most valuable invention in all the time of human activity. Way to go. Yeah, how long is it going to take for somebody to put an electronic chip on your Bible so it buzzes to remind you to read your Bible? Man, you got a great idea. I didn't know I was going to have a genius inventor call me this morning.
Well, thank you.
Hey, thanks a bunch, buddy. I appreciate your phone call. Bye-bye. You know what? That's not a bad idea. Or another idea I just came up with. What if we put a shock collar around a person that's tied in with your Bible study? That way it gives you a gentle shock on your neck. Y'all want to hear my alarm? Oh, rats, it didn't play loud enough. Never mind. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open. It is area code 903-589-8507. If I can, if nobody calls, let me make a brief comment. The gentleman that was just on the phone, he talked about omega-3 fatty acids. And so, I don't want to just assume that you know everything about these. I mean, I don't know everything about them, but they're so interesting to study. But this is one type of fat. You've got to have it if you want to have an excellent life. So if you want to keep your body in good repair, which also is another way of saying if you want to avoid every disease that comes down the pike, omega-3 fatty acids would be a very intelligent choice. Now, if you posed me the question this morning and said, hey, Dr. Morgan, what do you think about multiple vitamins? Well, I would say that I have an extremely low opinion by far and away on multiple vitamins, just because I just don't know that they really do that much of anything. Okay? And if I look at the data on them, it is not very impressive. You would say, why would I spend all that money on a multiple vitamin if it doesn't have a payoff? But I can't say that about omega-3s. Omega-3s have a huge payoff. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Well, thanks for your phone call.
Do you have the lion's mane and the omega-3 in your office?
I have omega-3. I do have different mushroom extracts. Usually what I'm in, I didn't get into this with a gentleman, but I'm trying to find out why is the memory not functioning well. But I think lion's mane is definitely worth a trial to see if it helps. But as a general rule, we've got three or four things that aren't working right. Number one, a person is usually consuming foods that are completely counterproductive to brain health. Can I give you two or three different examples?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever heard of Diet Coke or Diet Dr. Pepper or Diet Pepsi or Diet Anything or Sugar Free?
Yes, sir.
Every time that I see a person drink Coke Zero, on the inside I cringe. Because I'm thinking, this person doesn't really know what the research or the raw data says on this. I think one study demonstrated that if you drink a diet soft drink every single day, then what you're going to have is you're at risk for a 300% to 400% increased risk of developing a cognitive problem like dementia or Alzheimer's, or if you want to say severe memory loss. Man, it's just not worth it. That stuff is pure poison. Plus the other point, and I may be a little bit sidetracked, but if you look at the chemical called sucralose, there's nothing in nature that looks at that. I mean, I'm starting to think in my mind, I wonder if the body can actually detoxify it and get rid of it because it's just a man-made chemical. Totally artificial. But if you wanted to find one way to be a thorn in the flesh to the immune system, that would be another way of doing that, which means you might have horrific immune problems later in life, meaning cancer and other disrepair that's just so unpleasant. I just think all that stuff is so unnecessary. Why does the Food and Drug Administration call Diet Pepsi, you know, safe? You know, in some states you can get food stamps and you can buy all the Diet Coke you want. That ain't right. We're just destroying the next generation. So
well,
I think I got
you this morning. My husband and I will not drink Dr. Pepper Zero anymore.
Oh, did y'all ever used to drink those?
We drink them at least one a day. Almost one a day.
Uh-oh, I hear a dissenting opinion in the background. What did he say?
He said, no, we don't. He said we don't do it every day, but pretty close, sir.
Oh, and that's not really what I was after, but just as general information, you know, I wasn't picking on you. I was just saying if you want to completely mess up the body. So my whole point is this right here. Yes, I can easily recommend lion's mane as a supplement or chaga as a supplement or Ganoderma or shiitake. Those are all, or white button mushrooms. All those are good. But if a person's... What now?
What about carbonated water?
Oh, I have no problem with that. So, for example, if you bought a bottle of Topo Chico and they use carbon dioxide, I think there might actually be some benefits to that. It may have, for some people, it actually, because of the carbon dioxide, it may be a little bit relaxing and they might feel better. But I don't have a problem at all with that.
Okay.
But when you get into the artificial sugar, that's where I, you know, draw the line.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much, Dr.
Yes,
Morgan.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
If you would like to join me on the program this morning, there is a phone line open. It's area code 903-589-8507. And let's go to the phone lines again. Good morning and welcome to the program.
What can you do, a natural something for to keep mosquitoes from biting you?
Don't eat sugar.
Okay.
And let me tell you why. You know how I just mentioned that Topo Chico is... They pump carbon dioxide into it, so it's bubbly.
Yes.
So that's the homing mechanism for all mosquitoes. They're attracted to carbon monoxide. So when a person eats a lot of sugar, it's going to be broken down into carbon dioxide and water. Those are the byproducts once you burn it for fuel. So when a person eats a high sugar diet, that's a way of saying I'm putting myself, my whole body, as the buffet for mosquitoes. Now, I'm not sure if I saw what I saw this morning, but out of the side of my eye, I thought I saw a person at the donut shop being carried away by a large family of mosquitoes. I mean, I think I did, and I really wanted to help, but I said, I got to get to the radio show. What?
There you go.
I mean, surely the mosquitoes will get their fill and drop him off somewhere. I mean, what could go wrong?
Right.
So the other things that can be done, I think because garlic contains very unique sulfur compounds, consuming garlic and even vitamin E, that may be the ticket to preventing mosquitoes. Another thing that I would do, usually people that get the most mosquito bites, they're mouth breathers, which means they don't efficiently process carbon dioxide. Now, nose breathers, so like if you sleep at night, would you rather breathe through your mouth all night long, or would you rather have deep, peaceful sleep where you saturate your body with delicious oxygen by breathing only in and out of your nose? Well, of course, I know the answer to that. But those are probably two things I would look at.
Okay. Another thing, when I got bit by mosquitoes last night, and when I came in, I rubbed my arms and legs with baby oil, I was reading on it, and it says mineral oil and fragrance. That would be okay to rub your body down with mineral oil, wouldn't it?
You might actually do better with castor oil. Or even okay. If you use like extra virgin olive oil, you know how it has kind of a yellowish or a green color to it?
Mm-hmm.
That's because it contains chlorophyll, and chlorophyll is like one of the greatest neutralizers of toxins of all time. Can I tell you the thought that just popped in my head? If I was continually being attacked by mosquitoes, I might actually try a type of algae called chlorella. Have you ever heard of
chlorella?
It's called chlorella.
C-L-O-R-O-L-A?
Almost. Chlorella. C-H-L O-R-E-L-L-A. Chlorella.
Okay.
I think that'd be worth a consideration. To me, the stuff is a superfood. I mean,
okay.
Literally, in... See, that would be the way that I would approach this. Instead of giving a person... Now, you got to realize I'm just sort of joking by saying this, okay? So if a person says, Doctor, I have a hard time with mosquitoes, well, I've got a solution for you. We're going to go to the store and we're going to buy a can of insect repellent and we're going to spray it all over your body. Well, you don't want to do that because that stuff is toxic. I mean, if it kills mosquitoes... You know, you already know that your skin is going to drink up anything that you put on top of it, but if you put like extra virgin unfiltered olive oil, it's actually full of nutrition. That could actually benefit your skin. Do you like having your skin looking good? Yes. I think I'd go with the extra virgin olive oil.
Okay. Well, thank you much.
All right.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Plus, this just came to me. If you had a thick layer of extra virgin olive oil on your skin, the very first thing the mosquito is going to have to go through is the olive oil, and the mosquitoes are going to drink up the olive oil first. You know I'm joking, don't you? But hey, what if it clogs up their needle or their proboscis where it can't get to your blood? I'm sure somebody would file a lawsuit. Human beings need to stop that. All right. Good morning. Welcome to the program. I'm Dr. Morgan.
Dr. Morgan, thank you for taking my call.
I didn't say that my comments were intelligent today.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, please. Thanks for calling.
What is your opinion about support hose on the legs?
Well, okay, we use them if we absolutely have to, if there's no other option. But I want to come to an agreement. It's really the job of your muscles and your muscle tone. That's what's going to help pump and massage all the fluid back up toward the heart. So the heart is a great muscle. It does a great job of pumping blood all the way down to your toes. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
But it's going to be the person's muscle tone and the integrity of their capillary beds. It's going to help squeeze and massage the blood back up. So what happens is, now are you talking about maybe some fluid retention or some fluid buildup, that sort of thing?
I've got a little bit. I went to my cardiologist, and my heart's fine, but he noticed, because I had on like shorts, he noticed I had some coloration, and I didn't realize it. My legs are a little light tan at the bottom.
Well, that's diabetes right there.
Yeah, my blood sugar is good.
Well, what is it?
My blood sugar?
Yeah.
Oh, it's around 110.
That ain't good.
Well, that was after I ate lunch.
I'm sorry. I spoke too soon. I made an assumption that was your fasting blood sugar. So what is your fasting blood sugar?
It's usually 89 to 90.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, so explain to me, why would you have rusty brown spots or tan spots forming around your ankle?
Well, he did a vein test, and so he's wanting to do some vein.
Do you have any broken spider veins or superficial veins that are discolored around your ankle? Okay, that's good. That's a great sign. That's what I want. Do you have hair? Hair on your toes?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. What do your toenails look like?
They're really good.
Oh, so everything's great then. So if you have, are you just saying that you have more tan color deposited around your ankles compared to the rest of your legs?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but see, the reason I jumped to diabetes is usually those are called AGEs, advanced glycation endpoints, which means you get rust that starts to build up. And of course, I can't tell you everything about this. I can try, though. But it still can be an early warning sign that you're headed toward blood sugar issues. So if your normal blood sugar... What now?
What do I need to do about that? I don't consume a lot of sugar or sodas or anything like that.
I can tell you right now.
I have cancer.
Oh yeah, you're telling me everything I want to hear. I mean, I don't want to create a problem that's not real, but like you said, you have great toenails, there's hair on your toes. You don't have veins popping out all over. I mean, all that's beautiful. Uh-huh. That's good. That means you're a good steward of your body and you're taking good care of it. But there has to be some way that we can kind of put two and two together. So let me ask a different question, or let me say it this way. What is the most important thing that you would like to address right now at this point?
My veins and my legs, because he's...
Now, why are you saying it's the veins again?
Because that's what he's thinking it is.
Okay, but how do we know that's correct?
Well, he did some kind of vein test.
What did the vein test show?
You know, I really don't know. They just called and said they're going to start some vein.
No, and all I'm doing is I'm just trying to figure it out. Yeah. But do you have a lot of fluid retention? Let me ask it again.
No. When I put my finger on, I mean, I would just a little bit. Not
okay,
a lot.
Do your legs feel amazing? Like I've got spring in my step? They feel good?
No, at night I feel like I'm going to have cramps.
Okay, are you taking any drugs of any kind?
Medications? No, I'm taking vitamins and minerals.
Okay, so if you feel
I take that back. I have to take that back. You know, since I found out I had cancer, I have skin cancer, and I had breast cancer and I did chemotherapy. Then I had skin cancer and I did radiation. I'd had surgery and they didn't get it all, and they said there wasn't really anything else to do. So I started on myself on ivermectin and fenbendazole. I found out I was allergic to the ivermectin.
How did you know you were allergic?
I went to a doctor, and that's what she found out.
Well, I mean, but what were your symptoms that you had to prove up that you had an allergy to?
Oh, I had hives or rash all over me.
Okay, that might be some pretty good proof that you're reacting to it. Yes, I don't think you should have an ivermectin sandwich on your, you know, today.
No.
I know everybody's going to eat a hot dog this weekend, but we probably shouldn't, you know, take a bottle of ivermectin and put on top of it.
But my cancer doctor found a cancer pill, and so I just started it.
What's it called?
Oh, my gosh. Hang on, and I'll tell you.
Is it like a super big, long name?
No, the brand name starts with a G, and the generic name starts. Well, I've got it right here. Let me pull it out. So this is it's imatinib.
Imatinib.
Imatinib methylate.
Imatinib.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. So what is that drug? Is that chemotherapy?
I assume so.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be critical, but what have you learned by reading and studying that drug?
That causes a lot of side effects.
What is the drug when you read about it?
It's chemotherapy.
Okay.
It treats cancer, skin cancer, skin cancer that I have, DSF, P, skin cancer.
I mean, the first thing that's coming up right here is going to be treatment for leukemia, chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Anyway.
Yeah, but it also treats the skin cancer that I have.
Okay, all right. Well, so I don't know all that. We're talking about your legs, and so. If you're laying in bed at night and you're minding your own business and you say, you know what, I think I'm going to be more comfortable rolling over here on the right side of my body, and you kind of stretch out your toes and all of a sudden you start to have cramps in your legs,
mm-hmm.
I would say that you're not providing either enough organic sodium or potassium or calcium or magnesium.
Okay.
So it
My labs came back. My salt level, I think, was low.
The what?
Salt level.
Well, can I just kind of cut to the chase and tell you, when they have done long-term studies on healthy human beings, the people that live the longest and they have the least amount of cancer or heart disease, their sodium is almost always between 140 and the number 144. So can I just say there's like a four-point range there? Or if you want to say, let me see, one, two, let's just say 5 points.
Okay.
I just tried to count in my mind. Don't tell anybody I didn't make an A+ in calculus one. I did not do that.
Neither.
Now, trigonometry, I understand triangles and geometry, but not calculus. Oh, my goodness. If somebody held a gun to my head, I think I'd get shot today if I had to pass calculus. Anyway, but so when we look at the sodium levels, I think this is one of the most important things you can look at, because you're gonna start having leg problems if you're low in sodium. So a healthy range is between 140 and 144.
Okay.
What does yours say?
Okay. I don't have it in front of me. It just showed low.
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
I know.
But you're talking about the sheet of paper when the doctor said we found your sodium was low.
Yeah. My immune system's great. My blood...
Wait. Stop it. It is not great if your sodium is low.
Okay.
Because guess where sodium is concentrated in the body? In the skin. That's where it's stored.
Okay.
And so study after study shows that you're at higher risk of developing cancer of the skin when you're low in sodium.
Okay. So I didn't know those two are tied together.
Well, just like the other day, I went to Google. Sorry, but it does come up with articles for me. And I think this article I got from the National Institutes of Health, but I just typed in, is there a correlation between severity of cancer or developing cancer and I'm kind of getting to your question right here, and what's called GFR. GFR is just an acronym for glomerular filtration rate, so it kind of measures the kidneys. And lo and behold, what did it say? The lower your GFR, the more cancer you get. So there's a correlation between and then it ain't rocket science. The kidneys are the gatekeeper on your sodium. Okay? So if your GFR is 100, I would say, okay, we can get off that topic. That's like a great number. But I've got to believe that your blood work is literally a gold mine of information. So you're telling me that your sodium levels were low. And what did your doctor tell you how to fix it and correct that? What did she say to you?
She didn't because...
Oh, she didn't. Oh, okay.
No, I saw it myself. They were worried about my red blood cells, my white blood cells, all of that.
You know, well, what you're doing is you're giving me additional information that you didn't give before. What do you mean they're worried about your red blood cells and white blood cells?
Well, because I'm getting treated for cancer, and so that's what they, when they do those labs, I guess their main concern is they're...
They're checking for toxicity to see if they're doing damage to you? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so she didn't give you, the doctor did not elucidate any information about the low sodium.
No. Mm-mm. And then when, and just...
There's no way you can feel like a million bucks if your sodium is low. It's just not going to happen.
Right. Well, and being on this cancer pill on the side of it, and I'm tired all the time, yes.
Well, do you know what the number one symptom of all time is for low sodium?
What?
It's fatigue.
Fatigue.
Yeah, you're playing right into my hands on this deal. Yes, I have a diabolical plot as I rub my hands together going, she's falling right into my plot to help her to feel better and to get well. But see, your body, every cell in your body is like a battery. You must have enough potassium inside the cell, and then you must have enough sodium outside the cell if you want to be strong. But if you don't have enough sodium... Oh, I can guarantee you're going to become dehydrated pretty quick. See, this means if you drink a glass of water, the water's just going right through you. So if you get in your car and you drink a bottle of water and you're going to... Where do you live, by the way?
In Ben Wheeler.
Okay, so if you go from Ben Wheeler all the way to Tyler, what is that, 20 minutes or 30?
It's 30.
You're going to have to be looking for a bathroom by the time you get to Tyler because the water's going to be going right through you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, if you're hydrated good enough. Or not.
How can you be hydrated when you're low in sodium? That's my whole point.
Right.
Water doesn't just magically...
I guess eat a lot, and so that tells me I'm dehydrated, right?
I didn't hear that word. What'd you say?
I don't pee a lot, so I need to drink more water.
Do you see how desperate your body is right now to hold on to the water because you're dehydrated? See, water doesn't just magically come to the body and say, whoopee, we're going to have a party and do whatever we want to do. No, it's under the authority of those amazing electrolytes. These are minerals that hold electrical charge. They're like amazing magnetic electrical pumps. And so like anything else, there's a Goldilocks just right amount for optimal function. But, I mean,
I just drink water, but apparently I don't drink enough.
Okay, so... If you're low in sodium, and you drink just water, is that going to work?
I need to drink more water.
That's not going to work. What? Okay, you're low in sodium. What do you do when you're low in sodium?
Take a potassium pill?
No, that's potassium. No. What do you do if you're low in sodium?
I don't know. Add more salt.
You just now figured it out. Thank you. That's it. No, seriously. I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, but no. The solution is not to take more Benadryl. It's not to take more blood pressure medication. It's to provide your body the raw materials it needs to work properly. The human body can't even work right with low sodium. Actually, you're starting to make me nervous, because if a doctor flags sodium and doesn't tell you about it, I'm going, well, what is that called? Is that called negligence? What? Are you happy about that?
No.
So one of the reasons, there's like a whole bunch of reasons why your sodium could be low. What if you have very significant damage to either the kidneys or the liver or the lining of your gut? Well, we need to run toward fixing that. You ever heard of bone broth before?
Yes.
I need to send you, you need to get in your car and drive all the way to Tyler and go to a store and buy some bone broth and drink it every day.
Okay.
What kind of salt are you going to use?
I don't usually use salt. But I've heard you talk about Redmond's.
Yeah. That's what I take every day.
Okay, and you use it, what do you use it on? Just your food?
Well, you want me to tell you how I used it this morning?
Yes.
Okay, I took the bag, sitting in the front seat of my car, I dumped it in my hand, and I threw it straight in my mouth.
Oh.
And believe it or not, I didn't miss. I don't know if that means my mouth is too big. Anyway, let's not focus on my faults, okay? Let's focus on everybody else. So, but then again, that's just what I like to do. I like to suck on it.
Okay.
What you're saying is you're asking really great questions, but you're not going to have any systems in your body that work properly. So let me give you a different example. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the right balance of sodium and potassium, then you can't draw thyroid hormones into the cells where they can activate your metabolism. That means anything that your cells have to do to keep you in great working order and help you to produce a lot of energy. But literally, with a sodium deficiency, you could have all sorts of cramps in your legs that nothing's going to fix besides salt.
Okay.
Good, healthy, raw, unprocessed, clean salt.
Okay, that Redmond's.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And bone broth.
Oh, yeah, you're doing yourself, because what the bone broth will do, it has, I don't want to get overly sidetracked, but can I just say that when they boil down the bones and the marrow from an extra large calf or cow, there's just a ton of nutrients in there that your body uses to help get you back in good repair. See, I would probably take this conversation a whole different direction than maybe what somebody else would. How do we help your body get back into good repair? And I think you know what I'm saying. All I'm saying is you got to have a certain amount of sodium. And if your sodium is low, that means we're going to have to look at your kidneys and your liver and the lining of your gut. It's been significantly damaged. So there's no way your labs are going to come back and look perfect. They're just not. I mean, you got to understand I do this every single day. It'd be kind of, I think at this point, after 35, 36 years, it'd be kind of hard to trick me and fool me on your labs. But then again, don't you believe that I'm telling you what's in your best interest?
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't listen to me. So what we're doing is we're trying to make your body really, really strong and radiant and energetic. That's not a
and
sin.
And I walk barefooted. I started walking barefooted and putting castor oil on my feet.
Okay, that's all good. Could you go to the beach today and just put your feet in the salt water?
I wish.
Well, I think I'm being reasonable. I mean, if you just walk all the way down to Miami, surely there's a beach with some nice white sand and some turquoise-colored water.
I'm sure there is.
So I know that if we actually looked at your labs, we'd find a bunch of other clues as to where you're out of balance and what to do about them. I'm just telling you one.
Okay.
But if you do not correct the sodium issue, your immune system's going to be weaker. You're going to start to lose your force of will, which means you're going to give up a lot easier than the average person would. I want you to have ambition, drive, motivation. I want you to feel like that your brain is working so well on all eight cylinders that you say, man, I know this is tough, but I'm going to do this. I am not going to go into negativity and do nothing about it. I'm going to do something about it. But your capacity to generate exercise, to improve blood flow, all of your organs become so much healthier when you hold sodium in its rightful place where it belongs. What I'm really scared of is what low sodium means. You're making me kind of nervous because, I mean, sodium gets to a certain point and a person just feels like they're down and depressed and they can't function.
Okay, well, I'm not there yet because I'm a positive person.
Oh, I can tell. Yes, you are.
And I'm active.
Yes, that's good. But, I mean, you do want to correct the low sodium for a lot of reasons.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, even if I just say we need your immune system to be strengthened, or if you want to say bolstered or upregulated, we want it to rise to the occasion and go after any cancer cells and eat them, kill them, digest them, poop them out. Well, you know what I mean.
Yes.
I mean, if I had my way, your immune system would eat the cancer and it would poop it out.
Right.
So, yeah, but we need to correct all these things. But, yeah, and you might even notice that if you start, get you some good, clean, high-quality sea salt that's unprocessed, I would steer completely clear of pink Himalayan salt.
Okay.
I just wouldn't even do it, just because study after study is showing there's the risk of man completely contaminating it as he processes it is just too great.
So in my pantry, I have the Morton salt and I have the sea salt.
Well, you want it to be unprocessed, which means it looks pretty dirty.
Yeah, I don't put that on my food. I don't use it even.
Well, and what's going to happen is every system in your body will become much weaker. It really will.
Okay.
So hopefully we're catching this before you pass the point of no return.
Okay, yes.
Or do you want to start juicing celery? Celery is a great source of organic sodium.
Oh, okay.
I always think there's a lot of things I could fix if I could just get a person to eat celery.
Yeah, I'll eat celery, but I usually like to eat it with peanut butter.
Like, I think I've done that once or twice myself.
Raw celery?
Hey, you know what? When I was a boy growing up, that would be like my mother's idea of a snack for us. Like, hey, Roy, guess what? I made some homemade pimento cheese, and I put on some celery for you. I'm going, Mom, you're the best. Other kids are eating Snickers and Twix, but you love me so much. I think the candy bar they used to sell in the stores, sort of like, it was called a chunky. Have you ever heard of that?
I have.
Oh, my goodness. That tells me how old you are. You were born in the early 1960s like I was.
No, I know somebody that likes them, though.
Anyway, so, no, it's being healthy is a daily proposition. It really is. If a person is not actively seeking to help themselves, or what if I said it a different way, making a different analogy, unless a Christian is actively learning, you know how the Bible's, there's a verse, study to show thyself approved. Now, is that in our best interest to study the Word of God? Absolutely. We get to grow and learn and become more like our Lord and Savior Jesus.
That's right.
You know what our purpose in life is? It's real simple. To be conformed to the image of His Son. I think that's like Romans chapter 8 something. One verse in there.
Yeah. And spread the word.
Yeah. How about that? And so we're trying to feed and nourish and fortify your cells. You can only be as healthy as your cells are. And if you're low in sodium, I'm trying to help you turn this around to where you can have radiant, beautiful health where your body can manage disease on its own. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So let's just consider those things, and I hope that helps a lot.
Yes. Thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Uh-huh.
If you want to join me on the radio this morning, there is a phone line officially open. The number is area code 903-589-8507. One more time, 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I am wondering if there's anything that can be done for glaucoma other than the eye drops that are usually prescribed for it.
How much stress is the person under that has glaucoma?
Not excessive amount.
I mean, there's just normal stress every day for every human being, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
What I would do is I would try to radically improve nutrition to the eye. So have you ever heard of there's two carotenoids, and these have the highest concentration in the eye itself. And so I'm going to assume that's God's design. We need zeaxanthin and we need lutein. So if you were to eat kale, or in your case, I can tell by your thick Russian accent that you would like some red Russian kale. Is that correct?
Well, no.
You mean I couldn't figure out where your people come from? So, but kale and Brussels sprouts are the bomb when it comes to trying to help the eyes. In the past, I have done studies on glaucoma, and I do think there's a distinctive correlation between low levels of vitamin C in the blood and the development of glaucoma. So, obviously, if a person's not eating a boatload of sugar, you get to preserve your vitamin C. And if you said, hey, I love eating fruit, give me a lemon or a lime or a cup of, or a bowl of blueberries, those would all be great sources of vitamin C, and they'd probably be very, very healthy for the eyes. The substance that I would try, there is a product from a nutritional company called Standard Process, and they have a supplement called AC Carbamide.
AC Carbamide, okay.
That's it. So if you tried that, like anything else, you got to be willing to experiment. So like if I told the lady before, you know, let's put a pinch of salt on your tongue and see if all the cramps in your legs go away. Well, if that's all it takes, then we're good. I don't have to have her lick a salt block all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's probably many cows in Ben Wheeler that would love to lick on a salt block all night long. But AC Carbamide, you're trying to figure out, do I do best on 3 or 6 or 9 or 12 capsules a day?
Oh, okay.
But look it up for yourself, research it, see if what I'm saying is true and correct, and that way you kind of have a working game plan how you could help the glaucoma.
Okay. I do eat a lot of lime juice.
I like that.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Squeeze it into water.
Wow, that's so complicated. No, that's good. That's my favorite thing about tacos. You get to squeeze lime all over them.
Yeah.
Good. Well, there's great nutritional properties in lime and lemon juice, so way to go.
Okay, and I think you just said previously that Himalayan salt, the pink Himalayan salt...
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Mm-mm, oh,
okay,
no.
So Redmond,
yeah,
Redmond
but you,
and Celtic...
Well, I'm a fan of Redmond's, and I've read their reports. I know that there's some people that say it's totally toxic. I don't know that I just believe in that yet. But I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is, which means I put some Redmond's coarse sea salt in my mouth this morning before I came on the air. Why do you think I'm so sharp right now? You know, I'm just joking about that. But I would say, yes, do your homework and try to find out which one's going to be the safest salt. And I know you already know this. I'm just going to be rhetorical or redundant. There's nowhere a human being can go on the planet where you're completely free of all toxins, okay? But we're just trying to mitigate it, which means if you purchased pink Himalayan salt, which should be pure and clean, but if you buy it from China, you're asking for it. The other studies show that if the country of origin... But, you know, Pakistan, it's right there by Kashmir and all the Himalayan mountains. It's where the stuff comes from. But you're asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've even shown when pink salt comes from Germany and from Poland. if I'm not mistaken, probably India. I don't have anything against people from Poland or Germany or India or China or Pakistan. They're all beautiful, beautiful people. They're God's creation. But I wouldn't eat their salt because it's contaminated. They have found a way to mine it and process it and get heavy metals in contact with it. You're not going to be better off with more lead in your body.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do your research, but even this morning I put some Redmond's coarse sea salt into my body.
Okay. Okay. And I'll look up AC Carbamide, too. And
yeah, that's easy to look up.
That is the company that makes that is what again? I'm sorry.
Standard Process.
Standard Process.
It's
okay.
It's actually the oldest supplement manufacturer of all time. They've been doing it longer than anybody else.
Hmm. Interesting.
And they're not a drug company. if you look at all the multiple vitamins and the synthetic vitamins, those are all drug companies right there. They're trying to say, we know better than God, so we're going to make a synthetic form of vitamin B6. I think one study that I looked at shows that if you take pyridoxin HCl, which is just the synthetic chemically form of vitamin B6, oh yeah, it works great. It totally clogs up your cells and it fills that receptor slot where you can't even get any B6. So if you take a multiple vitamin with pyridoxin HCl, you're just asking to kind of screw up your metabolic machinery and produce fatigue and cause deficiency. I wouldn't do it.
No. No, that's not a good idea.
Mm-mm, no.
Is AC carbamide, is it like a source of vitamin A and C? Is that where the
comes from?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you look up carbamide and study it for yourself. It's interesting.
Okay.
Interesting substance, and plus with a good sense of humor you can probably make a lot out of it.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, there's a lot of things out there that, you know, I don't know that I always think about them, but when I study them and read them I go, man, this is genius. How'd they come up with this product? There's a lot of really smart people, but I have a high level of respect for people that use their creativity and their God-given skill set in a very productive way to help their fellow man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, thank you very much for your phone call today.
And thank you so much for your information. God bless and have a great day.
God bless you. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. All right, there's time for another phone call. 903-589-8507. That's 903-589-8507. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I just had a real quick question.
Sure.
I was going out of the country. Well, I'm going to go down to Belize on a missions trip, and I told my doctor.
Oh, you are you? Okay, cool.
Yes. And he suggested, I'm going to order you some metrodiazinol.
Yeah,
I think it's an antibiotic
or an anti parasite.
Okay.
And I'm sorry,
ma'am, sir. Sorry, doctor.
No, the highest correlation. That's another common name for that drug is called flagyl. You ever heard that term?
Right. Yes.
There was one study that I looked at showed the highest level or occurrence of type 1 diabetes being developed. It corresponded to prescriptions of flagyl.
Oh, no.
So I know it saves lives, yeah. But, you know, every drug has a side effect, right?
Did you say it creates or could cause diabetes?
Exactly what I'm saying. And it's not like I'm just making that stuff up. I'm looking at the raw data. So I don't have the study right in front of me, but I remember in the past. I mean, to me, it's so easy today that you could just type in the name of a drug like metrodiconazole or flagyl, or you could look up Cipro or ciprofloxacin, and you can look up the side effects to it. And sometimes the side effects are so horrific, you're going, well, would it be worth it for me to take it? But I know why he's doing it. He's saying you're going to come in contact with Montezuma's revenge when you're there in Belize on your mission trip.
I think that's what he was thinking of. I mean, he didn't really ask.
Well, I can tell you this. This is just my two cents. So when you go into the village, yeah, and they have their sacred, you know, well, if a nice young lady says, would you like a refreshing drink of agua, and it looks like brown stained sewer water, I'm going to recommend you don't drink that.
Good idea.
As if you needed me to say... I'm sorry, but I'm exaggerating, but what if they use that same water to wash your vegetables or your fruit that you're about to eat? You're still getting the toxic germs.
So what do you recommend?
Well, okay. Now we're in my corner of the world. I would say that you might want to consider taking a pretty strong probiotic and take it as if your life depends on it right before you leave and while you're on the trip there and while you're there and after you come home. Give your body every reason to have great benefit. The other thing that I might tell you to do, if when you get there, you go to a grocery store and they have what's called apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
I would take 2 teaspoons, add it to water, and drink it before every meal. And just make sure the water is in a sealed bottle and you can break the seal and you know it's clean water.
Right.
You know it's been filtered or it's clean. The other thing is, what if you have to boil your water just to make double sure?
Well, actually, I think we're staying in a this is a legacy missions. We have a school down there that we and
oh okay yeah.
I think I just need to ask some of the other people that have been there before to see if they've had Montezuma's Revenge or any other negative side effects by being there.
Well, what if you're walking down a street market, like an open market, and somebody offers you a fresh peeled mango or pineapple? Don't do it. Do not do it.
No.
Because there's just too much, there's too many opportunities for all the germs and toxic bacteria to be transferred to the fruit. You know, I told the story a long time ago about that little girl that went to the Western Sizzler Steakhouse buffet, and the only thing she ate was watermelon. But the guy that cut the watermelon used his knife to cut up a raw chicken before he cooked it. And so she died of, like, salmonella, and I hate that. Those are just sickening stories.
Oh, my gosh. That is.
I mean, I would never think of doing that, and you would not either. Nobody would.
No.
Anyway, but a little girl's
gone. No, I've
heard
people say that they've eaten salads and gotten Montezuma's Revenge.
Oh, salads are the worst. That's the easiest way to get sick is eat a salad when you get there. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I would only eat cooked food if it were me. I'm not telling you what to do.
Fair enough. No, I appreciate that.
But if they cook a chicken, if it looks like it's pink in the center, say, you know what? I think I'm really not that hungry. I'm going to do some spiritual fasting for this meal. Yeah, but make sure all the food's cooked. So if they serve potatoes, just make sure they're cooked. Or cooked carrots.
Tell me the best form of probiotic and how many units.
Well,
you see all these different...
Oh, yeah, but if you went to the store and you looked for something that has, like, Lactobacillus casei or Lactobacillus acidophilus or the big ones, and you know what? I'm glad you asked because I didn't even think about giving that much information, but there's one form. It's called Saccharomyces boulardii. That's the one that I want you to go after because that's the one that's going to protect you from getting some type of a food or a waterborne illness.
I know you know how to spell that real quick.
Well, can I just do it in my head real quick? Saccharomyces is S-A-C-C-H, Saccharomyces, Boulardii is B-O-U-L-A-R-D. There's the lard, and then the two I's on the end of it. Saccharomyces boulardii. Sounds Italian, doesn't it? You need Saccharomyces boulardii. But that, if you take that, you would be
Mercy
the smart... You might... bonjour. But this would be the one way that you would... this would be one very, very simple, doable way where you could offer yourself superior level of protection from getting sick.
Yeah.
And I think that's real smart of you. Way to go, man.
And just out of curiosity, isn't a probiotic... really should people take probiotics on a normal basis? I mean, if
probably so, because as we age it becomes harder to maintain like everything else. Unfortunately, yeah. I've got like 7 seconds left in the program. Do you mind if I let
okay.
you go? Hey, thanks for your phone call, man.
God
have
bless.
A great trip.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty.
Thank you.